Good morning, church.
Morning.
That was a wonderful reminder from Jordan that God will get our attention.
Amen.
Okay? Regardless of what we may think, the Lord will not be denied, and he will get our attention. You can turn to your Bibles. The first scripture that we're going to look at today is Isaiah 59, verse 2. So one of the things that when I introduce prayer in the mornings on Sunday, when I come up and have a call to prayer, one of the things that I'm sure you've taken note to is that I always say that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that that's an opportunity to accept him into your life. And a lot of people may think, well, you know, why do you say that in church? We're all Christians, right? You want to make sure, and it's very important to me, that everyone in the sanctuary, everyone online, anyone that I encounter, that they understand and know that Jesus Christ is the way to salvation. And even as longtime Christians, we need to be reminded that we have to stay on the path and follow God and follow Jesus. Okay, so that's a very important thing. It's always been important to me, but one of the things that brought it back to my mind or to the forefront of my mind is that earlier this year, we lost two close family members. They passed away, and it just reminded me that we know not the day nor the hour. Okay, we could be standing here fine, thinking everything is great, and you just never know what is going to happen. So because of that, we need to stay in a state of readiness. Now, should you become obsessed and be obsessive and become worried? No, the Bible doesn't want you to do that. The Lord doesn't want you to do that. But we should be in a state of readiness because you never know. We should know who our salvation comes from and who it goes through. You have to think about, though people don't want to a lot of times, where will you go when you leave this earth? Because this is just temporary. We feel like we're going to live forever, especially those of you that are young. As you start getting middle age, you suddenly realize that it's not a forever state. But we feel like we're going to live forever. And we are. Just not in this world. So where are you going to spend eternity? And if you were suddenly today brought into the presence of the Lord, and he looked at you, and he said to you, why should I let you into my kingdom? What would your response be? Okay? And that's a question that we all need to face. What would your response be? What would your answer be? Would you start to quote scripture? Would you start to say the classic, because I'm a good person? Okay? None of us are good enough. Would you say, because I go to church? Would you say, because I read the Bible? Would you say, because I was baptized? None of those things are reason enough. There are things that you should do, but they're not reason enough for you to enter into the presence of a holy God and his holy kingdom. Okay, and why not? The verse is there. So Isaiah 59, 2 says to us, but your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. So when we talk about iniquities, we're talking about sin. Romans tells us that we have all fallen short and sinned for a holy God. There's not a perfect one around us. So therefore, we need to break down that wall, that separation. We can't do it because we're sinful. So we need someone to do it for us. Okay? Because we're not good enough. He's hidden his face. He's hidden his kingdom from us if we're still in this sinful state. Now, the world will say to you, is this really necessary? Okay, what's one of the favorite lines from the world today? Well, a loving God would not send his people to hell. A loving God would not do this to us. He is a loving God, but he's a holy God. And he is not going to allow sin in his presence. So you've got a holy God and you've got a sinful people. His love is the answer. And the answer came in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen? So when people talk about a loving God would never lead us out into the cold, he would never put us into harm's way, or oh no, he won't forget us. Let's look to the word of God. Zephaniah 1, chapter 1, 14 through 16. The great day of the Lord is near, near and coming quickly. The cry on the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty warrior shouts his battle cry. That day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of trouble and ruin, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness. A day of trumpet and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the corner towers. Now you read a scripture like that and people will say, well, that was the Old Testament. That was God when he was angry. Okay? God is the same yesterday and today.
Amen.
Nothing has changed in his word. So we are still separated. Now true, in that particular passage, Zephaniah is warning Judah. And he's saying to them, you're sinful and you need to turn away from your sinful ways, or else you are going to face the wrath of God. But as with all the prophets in the Bible, and as every page of the Bible does, it all leads to Jesus Christ. Okay, so even in that Old Testament prophecy, even in looking at that, it's not just the people of Judah. That's also a warning to the people of today. When we look around this world, do you think the end is near? When we look at the sin, at things that are happening. Now, we know not when Jesus is coming back, but he gave us the signs and the warnings. And this world is in the midst of labor pains. Okay? This world is in the midst of its end. So we have to look and look at the warnings, look at the state of this world. In that day, we don't want to be on the wrong side of God's judgment. Okay? The question is, who puts you on the right side of God? Again, that's Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus tells us, I am the truth, the way, and the life. This is just temporary. If you want truth, if you want to find the way, if you want eternal life, then you must give to yourself and accept the grace and mercy and gift of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice on the cross.
Amen.
Okay? And that's what you have to look at. Through Jesus, we reach our purpose of knowing, enjoying, and glorifying the living God.
Amen.
And it is only through him. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. So it's only in him that we have this. But what do we have? We have his forgiveness. We have the remission of our sins. It is his blood that he spilled on Calvary that saves us. It's not works. Christianity is the only religion in the world that is not works-based. Everyone else will say, oh, you can do this, you've got to do that, you've got to be good enough. If you work hard and be good and pay your taxes, you should do all of those things. But that's not the key to salvation, okay? Because when we look at it and we think it's works-oriented, you know what that does? That puts the emphasis back on us. And it makes us, it gives us this false idea that we are in control, or that we can do something to actually invoke salvation. that we're equal to or perhaps even above God, that we have control of these things, and we don't. The blood of Christ is the only redeeming factor that saves us. And through Jesus Christ, we're redeemed by believing and accepting it. You need to ask Christ to forgive you of your sins. First and foremost, before you even do that, you have to admit that you're a sinner.
Yep.
And that's hard for some people. It's really difficult. I was raised Catholic, grew up in a very works-oriented environment, went to school, got good grades, tried to do all the quote-unquote right things. When you live your life a certain way, I've had a lot of people say to me, but I'm a good person. And they are, by the world standards. They actually are. But that's not enough. Okay? Again, it's looking at us and looking at a holy God. It's looking at that separation. And we have to admit that. Sometimes you feel shameful. Sometimes you feel I'm not worthy, and we're not. But we don't have to live in that space, because God is a forgiving, redeeming God. When you confess your sins and you repent, the Bible tells us that he takes our sins and they're separated as far as the east is from the west.
Yes, hallelujah.
Okay, we don't have to live in that state of shame, that state of denial. We are freed through Christ, but we have to put Jesus Christ on. And that's that admittance, that's admitting that we need salvation.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 5:18 through 19 says to us, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us this message of reconciliation. How many of you are happy that God is not counting your sins against you?
Amen.
Okay? Everyone's hands should be up. Because when you think about it, sin is sin. We as humans start to give it different grades and different levels. Well, my sin's not as bad as this person's because I didn't do this, I didn't do that. No. Sin is sin.
Yep.
And God sees it. But when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're reconciled. Okay, you are brought back through Christ, and he's not counting your sins against you. So there is freedom. You have freedom in the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, once you accept that, there's an important aspect there at verse 19 at the end. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. This is a message that we are to share with the world.
Amen.
Once we experience salvation and know it, yeah, we should jump for joy and be happy, and we are. And now the process starts of changing us into a new creature in Christ.
Amen. Yes.
Okay, because we've got to peel away the old man and put on the new. Because once you accept Christ, you shouldn't move the way you moved.
Yes.
You shouldn't behave the way you behaved. You shouldn't speak the way you spoke. Now, are you perfect? Are we perfect? Of course not. People will always have issues. However, the key is that you're constantly going back and reconciling with God. Okay? I heard someone once say that as Christians, we should become professional repenters. Okay? And we really should. Every day when I awaken, I repent. For what I've done, what I will do, okay? Because we're all human. And it's one of those things that you should always keep yourself. You know, Philippians tells us to pray without ceasing. Well, in that prayer, ask for the forgiveness, ask for strength, repent. And when we say repent, a lot of people hear the word repent and they think, oh my goodness, that's a really tough sounding word. What does that mean? Well, when you're repenting of your sins and what you've done, you're letting go of yourself. You're letting go of everything that you are, everything that you're holding in your hands, and you're dropping it. And you're saying, I'm sorry. You have a change of heart.
Amen.
Because that's the key. Intellectually and mentally, any of us can sit here and say, oh, I accept Christ. And this is one of the reasons that I bring it to the forefront, even with stated Christians. Because it's not about just you verbalizing it. It's coming out verbally from your heart. Okay? And you need to have a heart change. And in that repentance, there is a sorrowfulness for your sin against God. There is an apology and dropping it down and leaving it on the ground. And instead of holding on to that and to yourself and this world, you're now holding on to Christ. Okay? And you're holding on to him and never letting go. And you're keeping your mind and your eye there so that you can remain in that reconciliation and so that you can then share that with others. So when I mentioned earlier about my, you know, the two loved ones that we lost earlier this year, and it brought it back to the forefront that we know not the day or the hour, and just making sure that we are connected and that we have truly accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. It didn't start there. It brought it back to me, but it didn't start there. My mother passed in 2000. So it's 22 years ago that she passed away. 23 years ago, can't count, that she passed away. And she was a Christian. She always professed belief in Christ. And she raised me as a Christian. And my father professed it. But she developed lung cancer. And she battled it and went through gracefully, but unfortunately, her healing did not happen on this earth. Now, we know she's healed on the other side because God will heal you one way or the other, but it didn't happen on earth here. So it's one of those things that you have to accept. But as she was dying, as we made decisions about her care, the one thing that I was really blessed about was the fact that she was alert and oriented for some time. And I called in our pastor because I wanted to make sure that my mother's salvation was there. I wanted to make sure before she took her last breath that she had an opportunity to reconcile herself with God through Christ. Okay? And one of those blessings, it was a true blessing, was that he was able to sit with her privately and for them to talk. And my mother was a very animated, very strong person. And as he's saying to her, do you know Christ is your Savior? She's going, yes, yes. You know, like, what are you asking me this for? But it's one of those things that if you love someone, you want to make sure they're right with God, especially as they're facing death. Then we fast forward 9 years or 8 years later, and my oldest brother became very ill. And he lived in Georgia. My sister lives in Florida. I'm here in Pennsylvania. So we're kind of spread apart. And we're like, okay, Gary's having some issues. He was 19 years older than me. So he was much older. And we went down to see him, I'll never forget, in June of 2008. Because he didn't have children. So he was so blessed and so happy when he became an uncle, when we had Alma. And she was about to turn two, and I said to my sister, let's meet down in Atlanta, and let's visit with Gary, and let him spend some time with Alma. And we did that. So we went down, and he just loved his niece and seeing her and playing with her and having a great time, you know. And he was also very strong-willed. I guess I come from a strong-willed family. And he liked to joke and have fun and so forth. So sometimes it was hard to have those serious conversations with Gary. And we enjoyed that visit and we went on. So then we came home. Alma and I came home. Kathy went back to Florida. And unfortunately, his illness progressed. His health started to fail. We got the phone call. He's not doing very well, so forth and so on. Well, the same thing came to mind that, you know what? I need to have this conversation with my brother because I need to put it out there. Now realize, we can't force someone to accept Christ, okay? That's between them and God. But we know that God will use us as an instrument to put it forth to them. And you know that you've done your duty in putting that word there and putting it in front of them so that then the Holy Spirit takes over and brings them to God if they choose that. So the blessing was that, one, it comes into my mind, but then also the growth that I had experienced as a Christian myself. So when I think back 23 years ago when my mother passed away, although I had been a Christian for years, even at that point, I felt, okay, I want to make sure that this is done. I want to make sure that she has this salvation conversation. But my response was to call the pastor, okay, for him to have that conversation, to get into those details with her, have that tough talk. You fast forward to my brother 8 years later, through the grace of God, I had grown enough to know that as a holy person of God, as a believer, I too am a pastor of the Lord.
Amen.
Okay? And that I was able to have that conversation and bring salvation and bring Jesus Christ to my brother as the living God.
Amen.
And so I had the pleasure of having that conversation and starting it out and being on the phone with him and his acceptance. He had accepted Christ as a young man, but we all know, to Jordan's testimony, that we stray sometimes.
Yep.
Okay? Our walk isn't always a reflection of Christ and of what we say we believe. And that's a huge, huge part of our lives. You know, there's a term that people use a lot called backslidden, and that people backslide. They backslide into that old life, into their old ways. Does that mean that they can't come back to God? Of course not. But sometimes they need that reminder. There are times when the Lord will send them to their knees on his own. There are other times that he uses us. So it was a blessing to sit and speak to my brother and remind him of Christ and of his faith as a child and growing up and as a young man, and going through that and discussing the Lord, discussing the Bible, and discussing where you want to spend your eternal life. Okay? Because we're caught up in chasing this world, but what we need is reconciliation to the Father through Christ, so that our eternal life is secure.
Amen.
And we're blessed in that.
Amen.
And that, when I read 2 Corinthians 19 there, when it talks about that message of reconciliation, that's something that we need to bring forth.
Yes.
Okay? Because we all, whether it's with ourselves and having that private moment with God, or whether it's with our loved ones, and they're not easy conversations. You know, there are people who I love and who I like that it's hard to have that conversation with. And I've run from it. So I don't stand here today saying to you that it's easy or that I have gone and had these conversations when I know they were needed. I've fallen short of that too. But I am saying to you that your salvation, your testimony, is something that you need to share.
Yes. Amen.
Okay? When you say, well, I may not know the Bible as well as you do. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a this. We are a people created to share God's glory.
Yes.
And God's salvation. Okay? He sent the disciples out two by two. They didn't feel equipped. They didn't know. And we know how they stumbled around and struggled over the years. But they got it done. They got it done. And once Pentecost hit, as believers, as soon as we accept Christ, we have the Holy Spirit. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We're not doing this in our power. And that's what you have to remember. You're doing this in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Okay? But this is something that we need to share. These are the conversations that we need to have with the people that we love, and sometimes with the people even that we don't love. You need to have that conversation and yes. take the opportunity when it arises.
Amen.
Okay? So as you move forward and you think about, well, should I talk to this person? How do I talk to this person? What really is the ramification? You know, a lot of times as Christians and people, I'm not going to quote a bunch of statistics from Barner and all these different surveyors and so forth, but there are a lot of questions about what Christians believe today. Okay? Christ is the Son of God. He was flesh and he was God.
Amen.
Okay, there's no question of his deity.
Yep.
He came, he lived, he died on the cross for our sins. And he rose again in power and glory, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father.
Praise God.
Okay, there's no question about that, and the Bible tells us so. If you don't believe that, people will say, well, what about an existence? Well, I don't know if I need God. Again, God is a loving God. The Bible always gives us examples and gives us information for life.
Yeah.
So let's go to Luke. To Luke 16, we're going to look at verses 22-31. And I'm sure many of you have gone through this when Jesus was speaking and he gave and told the story of Lazarus the beggar and the rich man. Now, one of the things that I want you to keep in mind when we look at the end for the rich man once he dies, this man is not being punished or not in Hades because he was rich. People will sometimes twist that, and they think someone that's wealthy or someone that's affluent, that they can't be saved. That's not true. This man didn't experience salvation because of his selfishness, because of his pride, because of his reliance on his money, because he was not vested and fully believing in Christ or in God at that particular time. So let's look at Luke 16, 22. So the time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So first off, we're told here, this rich man is in Hades. It's another term for hell. The beggar, who had been begging in front of his house, who was dropped off there daily, he's in the arms of Father Abraham. Okay, as Jewish people, Abraham's the father, he's the father of our faith. He was there, and he's with Abraham. So the rich man called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue because I am in agony in this fire. So first off, hell is real. Okay? Hell is real. And this man is now reaching out and he wants relief. But what do we know? It's not after you've died and you're experiencing it. You need to come to this conclusion beforehand.
Amen.
But Abraham replied, Son, remember that in your lifetime, you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. So again, the good things, he's not in agony because he's rich. He was in agony because of his lack of belief and because he believed and made himself puffed up in his things instead of looking at and believing in God. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. So once you're there, you're there. Okay? And that chasm is the same that was spoken about in Isaiah. It's that separation from a holy God. and that is what you're facing." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family. I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment." So it's interesting because while he was alive and powerful and wealthy, he was relying upon himself. He was relying upon his things. He was puffed up. He's in torment, and now he's become an evangelist, okay? Because he's like, somebody, please. Now, you've got to give him credit because some people wouldn't have even thought of that. But now he's at least saying to himself, all right, and he's saying to Abraham, tell my brothers, warn my family, please, so that they don't go through this torment. Now, this is us as Christians. We believe we've been saved. We have that faith and that saving grace and salvation. Why would we not share it with those that we love? Why would we not share it with the world and give them that opportunity? Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." Now, I look at that and I think, wow, Jesus really could say some things, okay? Now, first off, Abraham's like, nope, not doing it. And I love that last one. "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." Yeah. Are you convinced of Jesus' resurrection?
Amen.
Okay, are you convinced by that power? Jesus appeared to over 500 people after he was resurrected, but there were still some who didn't believe and doubted. There are still people today who don't. But as Christ said in telling us this, and as Abraham said, if you're not going to listen to Moses and the prophets, who are you going to listen to? We have God's holy word to read, to share, to study, to know every day of our lives. This is what we need to listen to. This is what we need to place our security in. Okay? No one's coming back from the dead to tell us what's happening, but we don't need it to because the book is right here. Okay, God's word is right here. It is known to us. Why would you reject it? Why would you reject it? Why would you not share it when you know the importance and the outcome of it and how deadly it can be? Because we know that eternal life does exist, and we know the side that we want to be on. Don't allow yourselves to be fooled. Colossians 2:8 tells us that we should not be held captive by new philosophies and new beliefs and new age readings. I'm adding new age, I don't say new age, but by willy-nilly wind-blowing different doctrines. We have to be close to and know the true word of God because that's where our salvation is from, okay? We need to know that Christ is our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
You'd please stand. I just want to take this moment, just as a congregation, as a people of God here on Sunday morning. And I just want you to know, as long as you're living and you're breathing, all is not lost. You can have that saving faith and grace through Christ.
Amen.
He is there. So I'd like for all of us, before the worship team comes, to just take a moment, quiet your hearts, and speak to God, and speak in truth, because you can't lie to God anyway. He knows. Speak in truth. Look into your heart. Take that moment, whether you're a Christian that needs to re-reconcile, that you need to repent of some things that have happened in your life, whether you have never given Christ a thought, whether you have never given your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Know that today is the day that you can accept his salvation and gift of eternal life. Ask him to forgive your sins. Ask him to come into your heart to be the Lord of your life. Accept that. Believe that his blood shed on Calvary will wipe away your sins.
Amen.
And know that he is there to be accepted, to change your life, and give you eternal salvation. Lord God, this day we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the fact that we do not have to guess or wonder what we are supposed to do or who we're supposed to worship in this lifetime. You have given us your word. You have left it for us so that we are able to be reconciled back to the Father. So that way, if we are asked, why should I let you into my kingdom? Our only answer is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We should be let into your kingdom, Father, because I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. When you look at me, you see Christ. You do not see my sins, my faults, but you see the redeeming blood and sacrifice of your Son that you gave to the world so that none would be lost. See Christ in us, Lord. See Christ upon us. Allow us to accept him and allow us to change our lives, to show that we are your children, that we are believers, and allow us to share the saving grace and reconciliation that we know to a hurting and lost world. We know not the day nor the hour, Lord, so allow us to be ready. Allow us to have our hearts to you, directed to you, our eyes upon you, so that we know at the end we can go forth and you will say, well done, good and faithful servant. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Hey, thank you for watching, listening, and subscribing. Our hope is that this content will point to the person who can heal and transform your life. That person is Jesus. If you would like to learn more about him and how to become healthy in every area of your life, we would like to give you access to Right Now Media. This is the world's largest video streaming library of biblical resources and entertainment. It's completely free. We already paid the subscription for you. Scan the QR code if you're watching or find the link in the description below. Again, thank you for being here. We'll see you next time.